for a children's church type thing this morning. So y'all got a special treat this morning. So I think most of you might know this song. Some of you in the congregation know this song. It's the first time we've done it. So kids, everyone stand. And kids, if you know this one, you definitely lead this one. Brother Doug coming with us this morning. As I said, he's been with us before, and he's got got some things I'm sure he's going to tell you how the Lord's been working in him. And it is true how beautiful are the feet of those. And healed are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of peace and reconciliation with God. So, Brother Doug, you come and you share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart. Well, good morning.
And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God may forgive us those sins. Oh, there's a promise there. We beg for forgiveness, God will forgive us. He will. And we've seen it happen a lot. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit has free reign here this morning, Lord, that you will speak to us. You will touch our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we celebrate the death of Roe versus Wade, Lord. But we know that it's a short-lived celebration because babies are still being killed, Lord. We pray that these states, these individual states, that you will move in these states that have went ahead and allowed abortion in their states all the way up to labor in some of the states, Lord. We thank you for those. And we're about a 50-50 split in our nation, Lord. Those states that have made it difficult, have made restrictions, Lord, on abortion. We thank you for those, Lord. We pray, Lord, if there's anybody in this building who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And we ask this in the name that is above all names. In the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you remember from last time, there's three things we need to do to see our nation turn from a nation of death back to a nation of life. You can't change those. The first one is we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to the Word of God. This needs to be our thinking 24/7. And there's so many reasons why it needs to be our thinking. But let me tell you, we're living in a culture that believes there's no absolute right or wrong. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And that belief, that secular humanist belief is growing in our nation probably faster than any other religion there is out there. And it is a religion. The religion, there is no right or no wrong. Again, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. God's Word is very clear on what is right and what is wrong. There's no gray areas. It's black and white. One of the other reasons that we're going to talk about this morning, why we need to get back to the truth of God's Word, is because it tells us where our value is found as humans. Because we also live in a culture and society today that doesn't believe in the sanctity of human life. And it's quite evident. Just the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the angry people, the fighting, the things that were done when that was overturned, proves that we are not a nation that believes in life. And that needs to change. And the first verse we're going to ask you to highlight in your hearts is Genesis 1:27. Because Genesis 1:27 tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And this is where our value is found. Not in how much money we have, not in how much power we have, not in how highly educated we are. None of those things are bad. But that doesn't determine our value. The fact that the creator of the universe chose to create us in his image is where our value is found. You go back into Genesis and you read the days of creation. And the first 5 days of creation, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good, 5 days. But on the sixth day, he said, what? It is very good. And Bible scholars will tell you that's because he finished his creation in 6 days. But there was something else that happened on the sixth day that I believe led God to say it is very good. And that is the creation of man. No other thing on this earth can lay claim to be created in the image of God but us. And I know we all know this, but we need to make sure we keep this fresh in our minds. Because the world will tell us all kinds of lies about where our value is found. We need to take it back to Genesis 1:27. And how much value is that? You know, I don't even know how much all the gold in the world would be worth. You read through Chronicles and all the gold that was brought to Solomon and to David. It was tons. If we could take this room right here and fill it up with gold until it's running out all the doors and the windows, can you imagine how much that would be worth? At $2,000 an ounce, it would be unfathomable. But 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says it wouldn't purchase not even one of us. Not even one of us. So that tells me that Jesus' blood is worth more than all the gold in the world. In fact, one drop of Jesus' blood is worth more than all the gold and silver in the world. So looking at back at these two verses, Genesis 1:27, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, two questions. What determines anything's value? Well, we're talking about human life, so we're going to talk about what determines human's life value. The first question is, Answer is, who made it? Who made it? Obviously, a Cadillac is worth more than a Chevrolet. Okay, just because of who made it, how it was made. There's nobody that can lay claim, again, to being created in the image of God. God made us. Psalms 139, God knit us together. And the second question is how much was paid for that person, that object? Obviously, again, you're going to pay more for a Cadillac than you are a Chevrolet. But 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, all the gold in the world couldn't purchase us. So using those two questions, again, we want to hammer that home. There is nothing more valuable than human life. Nothing. Nothing more valuable. We want to look at Psalms 139 because David knew a lot about life. He was Solomon was the one with all the wisdom, but David was no dummy. He was a smart man. And he knew. In Psalms 139, he expresses how he knew he was created in the image of God. And God knew him before he was ever formed in the womb. He knew each and every one of us here today before we were ever formed in the womb. And one of the most amazing things about that is knowing us all before we were ever formed in the womb. What? God still loved us. He still loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. That's love that you and I can't even begin to fathom. And David knew that very well. Because David committed adultery and murder. Yet, we know he was forgiven. Psalms 51, I would encourage you to read Psalms 51 because that's an awesome prayer of repentance that David prayed after he had committed adultery and murder. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God will forgive us those sins. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought from the lowest parts of the earth. Thou hast to see my substance, yet being not perfect. Remember that. And in thy book all my members were written, which continues, were fashioned, and as yet there was none of them. Again, this tells me that God knew David before he was ever formed in the womb. What has happened? We've gotten away from the truth of God's word. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that what? We are God's workmanship. Can you imagine that being God's workmanship? How awesome that is? And we can talk a long time about what it means to be God's workmanship, but the bottom line is that God doesn't make junk. Yet we have gotten away from the truth of God's word. And when you get away from the truth of God's word, what do? You start believing the lies that are out there. And all of us have done it. We've all fallen victim to this. Getting away from the word of God and saying, listening to somebody else or something else going on. Well, that sounds like that could be true. You need to take everything back to the word of God. One of the things that we have preached for 19 years is don't believe the media. Don't believe the media because they're lying to us all the time. Especially when it comes to life and other things. Watch them just so you can pick out the lies. That's what I do. We need to get back to the truth of God's word. But because we've gotten away from the truth of God, we've gotten away from Genesis 1:27 and Ephesians 2:10, two of the most important verses when it comes to life, we've bought into the lies. And we're going to talk about this whole issue of the loss of sanctity of human life is not only the unborn, but there's two other groups that are very much being attacked in our nation, and that's the elderly. One of them is the elderly. Even before Roe versus Wade, we had seen a decline in abortions to some degree. But euthanasia has grown very, very fast in this nation. And euthanasia is the belief that any time in the course of your life that you can no longer contribute to society, then you're of no value, and that's not for us to decide. That's not for us to decide. 9 states have legalized assisted suicide now. When I was here before, there were 6. So it is growing very, very rapidly in this nation. Some states, it's so easy to do a medical suicide that all you have to do is order the drugs off the internet and send back to your house and you can take your life. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not from God. The second group that is under attack in our nation, as far as life, is the disabled. We use this guy. We're still using him. We've used him 19 years. This guy's name is Nick. He was born no legs and no arms. Somebody that our culture would say, how would he ever contribute to society? Because unfortunately, all of our value from our society at least, is based on how much we contribute to society. So somebody that has some kind of a disability, whether it's Down syndrome or whatever it might be, this guy no legs and no arms, is seen as not being able to contribute to society, and they think that this person should be aborted. And this is completely against God's word. Exodus 4:11 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who maketh man's mouth? Who maketh the deaf, the dumb, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" And this guy, like I said, he was born in Australia, no legs, no arms. Somewhat our world would say needed to be aborted. If you look at the picture down here, this is several years later, and actually we need to update this because he has five children now. He's married, got five children. There's literally been thousands come to know Jesus Christ through this guy's testimony. I encourage you to go to his website, Life Without Limbs. We're going to show you a real quick clip of him, and then we're going to move on.
Example.
There's no scientific evidence here. This is an observation after being in almost 1,500 churches in our nation. I want you to use your imagination. I want you to imagine this is the world, this is the church. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Not what will they do, but what can they do? What can they do? What's our foundation? The Word of God. We're living in a time where secular humanism is growing, unbelief is growing rapidly in this nation. Okay, so secular humanist believes there's no absolute right or wrong. Can you imagine if there are almost over 350 million people in this nation determined for them own, for their own view, what is right and what is wrong? Can you imagine the chaos there would be? There is a right and there is a wrong according to God's word. So, if you're a secular humanist and you believe that there's no absolute right or wrong, and the Word of God tells you there is, then it stands to reason that you're going to attack the Word of God, and that's what we're facing in our nation today. An all-out attack on the Word of God, people saying it's just a book, there's nothing special about it, and this is what we're seeing. Okay? Secular humanists have no problem with any of these issues here, again, because they believe they have the right to determine what's right and what's wrong. So who are you to say that abortion is wrong? We base ours on the facts of God's Word. The infallible and inerrant Word, truth from cover to cover. And the other thing I want you to see here is they are unified. They are unified in their attack on the foundation of God's Word. Here's the average church in America. This is where people get a little upset. You know, there's an old country saying that says, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that gets hit. So, this is a tough part of the message, but it's the truth. It's what we've observed. If it doesn't bother you, don't worry about it. If it affects you, pray. Pray, because you might need to make some changes in your life. Every church we've been in has this person right here. He's in church every... This person, I don't want to call him a he, because it could be a lady, is in church every Sunday, but they're asleep spiritually. Brothers and sisters, there's no time like now for us to wake up. There's no time for us to come out of our sleepy, complacent attitude and make a difference in the culture in which we live in. Every day it gets shorter and shorter of the time we have, whether it's the end of our lives or whether it's Jesus coming back. But it's getting closer, and our time is short. We need to be at work. This guy here, this person's in church every Sunday, and they're always busy doing something, but nothing matters. Okay? We encounter those in almost every church we've ever been in. We consider this to be a church of five. This guy right here, this person, is the only one that is busy about what God's called him to do, or her to do. And what is that? To take the truth of God's word and challenge it against the lies that are out there. The only way we can win this battle of lies in our nation is with the truth of God's word. Because our opinions mean nothing. Everybody's got an opinion. You know how that goes. The only thing that matters is the word of God. And the only thing that's going to defeat those lies is the Word of God. So this guy, this person is busy about taking the Word of God and challenging these lies, because if you take the Word of God, you can make every one of these here wrong. And things that we shouldn't have in our nation. Unfortunately, we encounter this person quite a bit too. He doesn't like that he is making waves. Okay? We've heard it from pastors and deacons. Well, brother, we can't rock the boat. Well, brothers, we better start rocking the boat. But we're not going to have the boat to rock. We are losing our religious freedoms in this nation every single day. They're being taken away from us. And we need to do something. You know, my father was a fisherman. And every year he had to take the boat out of the water. Why? Because the bottom grew up so much that eventually it'd get to the point that it wouldn't even hardly move. We need to keep the barnacles off our boat. And we do that by keeping it moving. Keeping it shaking. We need to keep things going. This person here, we ran into him in Florida. He was teaching an adult Sunday school class, and he was teaching evolution. Teaching evolution. Evolution is not in the Word of God. Why in the world would you have somebody teaching it in your Sunday school? We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. So this is the problem. It sounds bleak. But let me tell you, God's always got an answer. Isaiah 58:12 says that we are to be the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past, the walk-in. And that is one of the biggest ministries we have right now. There's a lot of broken people. restore them. May even some believers that are out there that are hurt, they need to be restored back to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, then we need to share Jesus Christ so that they can come out of that broken world that they're living in. We need to get back to the truth of God's Word. So we need to stand upon the principles of God's Word. And if you notice, everybody in this little five-person church is now all in the battle. We're all in the fight. You know, if we will do it, some people are going to get mad. Okay? Some people are going to get mad. They're going to leave. Let them go. But here's what we're going to see. We're going to see some people from the world that has been attacking the Word of God coming to the church, because the truth is, everybody wants to hear the truth. Everybody wants to hear the truth. And God's Word is the truth. And because of that, God's Word says the truth will set you free. Nothing else will. None of these other things will, but the Word of God. Adrian Rogers said, the church today is more like a showboat than a battleship. We need to be a battleship. It's a war raging out there. We need to be busy about what God's called us to do. So the first thing we need to do is get back to the truth of God's Word. The second thing, we need to be salt and light. But I got to tell you, out of the almost 1,500 churches we've been at, we're seeing too many churches that are being affected by the culture instead of the church affecting the culture. Do you get that? That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to be affecting the culture, not allowing the culture to affect us. And we do that by being salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt is lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light to all that are in the house. We are to be salt and light. Some ways that we can be salt and light, we need to educate people. Not on my opinion, not on the pastor's opinion. We're human. We're wrong as much as we're right, probably. What do we need to educate on? What the Word of God says. The only absolute truth there is out there, and the truth will set them free. And we need to be sharing and teaching people what God's Word says, especially when it comes to life. Because there's nothing that'll turn a heart faster than the Word of God in prayer. We need to be busy about our culture. We need to be voting life. And I know that some people say, oh, don't start getting political. It's not a political issue. It's a right-wrong issue. But unfortunately, our voting system is the way that we replace people who are not pro-life. And I've heard the comments from different people, oh, we don't need to get involved in politics. We don't need to get involved. Where's the godly influence going to come from if we don't? Where's it going to come from? If we don't get involved in the political system, too many Christians are running from office instead of to office. We need to make a difference. And we need laws. And people say, well, we don't need law. Well, 1 Timothy 1:9 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. We need laws. We need the Word of God. We need prayer. We also need the laws. Support your local pregnancy care center. Support them in any way you can, because they're doing a work that's unmeasurable. So we need to get back to the truth of God's Word. We need to be salt and light, and we need to be praying people. We need to be praying people. There's power in prayer. We have the laws to protect us from the lawless. We have prayer and the Bible to change man's heart. Pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I don't know how many of you all, when you're growing up, heard 2 Chronicles 7:14 preached for the nation. It's not for the nation, it's for the church. If, that's such a big word, if God's people, who's God's people? That's why it's the church. The world's not full of godly men and women. The churches are, supposedly. Unfortunately, we see a lot of empty churches. Need to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the churches, that they will rise up, come out of our sleeping, complacent attitude, and make a difference in the culture in which we live in. We also need to pray for our nation, that God will raise up godly men and women to take public office. Need to pray for pastors. Pray for your pastor every day. He's a good man, but he needs your prayers. It's a battle out there. Pray for other pastors. You know, we still have to contact anywhere from 150 to 175 pastors before we find one who allows us to come share the message of life with their church. Appreciate you having us back. We'll come back anytime we can. Pray for your pregnancy care center. Pray for us in Choose Life Ministries. Our number one need is prayer. Pray for your youth and children. I cannot say that loud enough. Great group of children just left out here. We need to pray for them. My wife, while she's with them, will get their names, their first names, and she will pray for them every night for months to come. We need to pray for them. Because we need to see God raise up a generation of youth and children and say, no longer. No longer are we going to bind the lies of Satan. We're going to stand on the absolute truth of God's word. Because we don't want to hear it, but we as adults, we've kind of dropped the ball. We're leaving our children and grandchildren a mess in this nation. That's not financially, that's spiritually. The youth and children of today can be the David that slays the Goliath of abortion in the future. We need to pray for them. So we need to get back to the truth of God's word. We need to be salt and light. We need to be praying people. Remember Genesis 1:27 tells us that all human life is created in the image of God. Psalms tells us that God knew us before we were ever formed in the womb. Matthew says we are to be salt and light. We are to be salt and light. Three things that are missing in so many Christians' lives today. The Word of God. How do we expose a lie if we don't know the truth? How do we guard our hearts from believing a lie? Because a lie can be real close to the truth. But a lie is a lie and the truth is the truth. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be in prayer. We need to get active. So as Christians, we need to get into the Word. We need to get on our knees and we need to get up and get active. God didn't save many of us to warm a pew a couple times a week. He called us all to a ministry. It's not good enough just to be a hearer of the word. We must be a walking doer of the word. I said we were going to talk about the unborn here, and it's time. How many of y'all were upset after 9/11? Every hand in the congregation, I believe. It was an attack on our nation. Innocent people lost their lives. We get upset when we hear of somebody in the armed services that lost their lives in the line of duty. By the way, how many of y'all served our nation in the armed services? We got anybody? Nobody? That's unusual. We usually have at least one or two. You know, the service of our men and women is why we have the freedom to be here today. We need to remember that. When we get upset and we hear of a cop who dies in the line of duty, and we should, they're there to protect us, and they're trying to. So don't hear me saying that this is not a good thing, but I want you to get these numbers in your head. We've been a nation for well over 200 years. You take all the deaths from all the wars, they're all represented by line of crosses, 1.1 million roughly, that have lost their lives. But where's the concern and being upset over, over the war on the unborn? Over the war on the unborn. Before Roe versus Wade, over 60 million unborn babies have lost their lives. It should upset us. It should make us very upset. So we're going to show you a series of slides as we get ready to wrap this service up. And on these slides, you're going to see this baby pop up most often. It's a baby that it represents 50,000 unborn babies that have lost their lives for basically convenience sake. This baby you're going to see pop up every now and then, and it represents 50,000 babies that have lost their lives because the test showed that they were going to have a special need. And by the way, no baby's life should be determined by a test, because these tests are not always accurate. And even if they are, that baby is still made in the image of God, regardless of what those tests say. So you're going to see these, and you know, they tell you in preaching classes and speech classes and so forth, never have awkward moments of silence. But we're going to have just a few minutes of silence here as we watch these slides. If you get uncomfortable, pray for the woman who might be in the abortion clinic right now, considering an abortion. It seemed like a long time, right? 2 minutes. 2 minutes for a slide to show, represent 60 million unborn children. Oh, it's not going to let me do it. So let me go back. First time we did that, I said, we got to speed it up. It takes too long. I timed it. It takes 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If we were to take and put 60 million individual babies on slides like that, remembering each one of those babies represented 50,000 babies, and put it on slides and ran it at the same speed, it would take almost a year for all those slides to go through. And we know that it has to break God's heart, because Genesis tells us that what God can hear the blood of one innocent man crying on the ground. Can you only imagine what he hears now? When we talked about Roe versus Wade a little bit, this is the prediction of how many abortions there'll be in this nation now that Roe versus Wade has overturned. Too many. Too many. But they're representing about 1,500 babies that lives are saved each and every day. And people say, well, it's not enough. No, it's not enough. We celebrate, but we keep fighting. We keep fighting. But here's the truth. If Roe versus Wade being overturned only saves one baby, how many of y'all get discouraged from time to time? If you would, go get your wife, please. How many of y'all get discouraged from time to time? Hey, we're living in some pretty discouraging times, right? I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, we try to keep an upbeat attitude as Christians, but we're living in a very sinful, dark world. Hang on to Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. If you're here today and you know that you know that you know you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's always hope. There's always hope. Even in all the discouragement. You know, I said earlier that God knew each and every one of us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. But the truth is, God knew each and every one of us before the very foundations of the earth. He knew each and every one of us individually. And still, it amazes me that God knew me before I was ever formed in the womb, and all the things that I was ever going to do, yet he still loved me. He still loved me. Is that not amazing? What amazing love. Unconditional love. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a payment. How much was that payment? God owns all the silver and gold ore that wasn't valuable. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our prayer this morning is, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he will not leave here without the free gift of salvation. Just remember, as I get ready to close, my wife's going to come down and sing a song for you, and then we're going to have an invitation time. Just remember, as Christians, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. The victory's been won. We just need to get in the battle. And I'll leave you with this. If we don't fight for the unborn baby's life today, none of us are saved tomorrow. None of us are saved tomorrow. Because it's a slippery slope. If you don't respect life in the womb, you're not going to respect it in any other stage of life. And that's why euthanasia is broken. Attack on the unhung and the disabled is broken. It's an all-out battle. And the other side, for lack of better terms, is never going to give this up. They're never going to give this up. Interesting that when Roe versus Wade was first overturned, we knew there was going to be a lot of women from South Carolina. Because South Carolina had a very strong law that was going to come from North Carolina. But then North Carolina has passed a law, a very strong law also. And so that's the reason why it's important for us to vote. Because the governor tried to veto it, but it was overridden. In fact, he didn't veto it. But we had strong representatives that stood in there and said, no, we are going to represent life. So now we have a strong law. Hopefully she'll be here even now. wasn't as good as we thought it'd be. I'm not real sure what part of the church she was. Is it what? Is it what? Hopefully his foot didn't make out of honey all the way up. We had an interesting morning this morning. We got a text from a missionary we know in Africa. They had the opportunity to pray with a Muslim to accept Jesus yesterday. And then the next text I got was a young 7-year-old child we've been praying for now for 6 months with cancer of the liver, and she lost her battle. So she went to be with Jesus. So we had a life, new life, and one was taken away.